See right after the international.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Milwaukee Bucks, who on Tuesday night won their first National Basketball Association championship in 50 years. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
In a city that has been starved for world titles, the Milwaukee Bucks won their first NBA championship since 1971 after beating the Phoenix Suns 105-98. The Bucks won the series in six games after dropping the first two in Phoenix. Giannis Antetokounmpo was the series MVP. He suffered a knee injury in the conference finals, and there was some doubt if he'd be healthy enough to play in the finals. He had 50 points in the title clincher. Antetokounmpo says there was nothing that was going to stand in his way.
I want to win a championship in Milwaukee. I'm going to do whatever it takes in order for me to win it. And we did it.
The Bucks trailed by five at halftime. Antetokounmpo had 20 third-quarter points. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. Milwaukee's head coach, Mike Budenholzer, praised his players.
We've been pushing. We've been trying to get better. The players embrace everything. They're amazingly coachable. They just take it and soak it in, and they make the best of it. They've done that, from day one this year. So I'm happy for the players.
Now we'll hear from a couple of those NBA champion Bucks players. Center Brooke Lopez scored 10 points and grabbed 8 rebounds in game 6 of the NBA Finals. Talk to us, Brooke.
See our guys fight back, make adjustments, and just keep that belief in one another. It's special, you know. That's not something that you get with every team. I've seen that through my 13 years in the league, that this team is absolutely one of a kind, and I'm fortunate and blessed to be a part of that.
Meanwhile, guard Chris Middleton says the Bucks showed their fighting spirit in lifting the NBA trophy.
They knocked us in the mouth the first two games, but I love the way we responded. We didn't give up on ourselves. Our home crowd was amazing. This whole playoff run, this whole season.
And while the Phoenix Suns came up short, star guard Devin Booker says he learned some valuable lessons.
I think we learned a lot just by being in it. You know, it was a lot of our first time in the playoffs, let alone the finals. You know, it was a great experience for us. I think we set a foundation and a base for our team.
The Olympic women's football tournament kicked off Wednesday with an upset in Tokyo. Sweden beat the top-ranked and four-time Olympic champion United States 3-0 to snap the 44-match unbeaten streak by the Americans. Stina Blackstenius scored 2 goals, and Linda Hurtig added another for the Swedes, who deservedly won the Group G opener. Sweden also beat the USA in the quarterfinals of the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, to deny the Americans a medal. Now, Wednesday's game took place in a nearly empty stadium, since Olympic events in Tokyo are happening without fans due to a COVID-19 state of emergency. In other results Wednesday in Olympic women's football, Britain beat Chile 2-0 in Sapporo, Japan. Ellen White had both goals for the British ladies. In Rifu, Japan, Brazil began its Olympic campaign with a big 5-0 win against China. Also in Rifu, an even more lopsided result. The Netherlands trounced Olympic debutante Zambia 10-3. The 13 combined goals make it the highest scoring game ever played in either the Olympics or the World Cup. Vivienne Medema scored 4 goals for the Dutch women, while Barbara Banda scored all 3 of Zambia's goals. And in 2 more results, Canada and Olympic host Japan played to a 1-1 draw in Sapporo, and Australia beat New Zealand 2-1 in Tokyo.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Falilat. Falilat won her Olympic bronze medal in the women's 400 meters event at the 1996 Games in Atlanta. As we look forward to the women's 400 meters in Tokyo, let's keep our eyes on Sheeta Lenny, who will be waving Uganda's flag. In fact, Sheeta is only the 2nd female sprinter ever to represent Uganda at the Olympics. Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala, Uganda, tells us more about Sheeta in this Olympic profile. Sporty greetings, Magume.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny, and our listeners. Sheeta Lenny made history when she qualified for this year's Olympics, having amassed good points from various competitions across the globe, mainly in Africa and Europe. She says it was a dream come true to qualify for the world's most prestigious event.
My qualification to Olympics, it really means important to me in a way that, I really wanted to represent my country in sprints because it has been a long in sprints, so it was very, very important to me to work towards it. And then secondly, it was my dream. I really put it down to myself that in my sporting career, I wanted to become an Olympian, and really, I really worked towards it until when I get it. So it was really important to me.
Lenny says she's glad perseverance paid off, and says her participation in various competitions, most often breaking national records, made her a better runner.
I had a couple of races outside before my qualification, but the aim was all for me to qualify, because when I was back home, things were a bit hard. So when I tried to go overseas, that's the time when I started producing some reasonable times. So it was really very important to me, even in terms of my preparation and so on, though I was still in the fight of qualification.
With an impressive personal best of 51.47, which is the national record, some sports fans and analysts have described Sheeta Lenny as a special talent in the sprint races. Sports analyst Leon Senyange congratulated Lenny for representing Uganda at the Olympics. He says, medal or not, the Olympics will give her the much-needed experience for many future races.
It's a well-earned sport for her, and I actually believe that at the point of competing at the Olympics would be one of those ultimate goals she'll have attained in her career. In terms of what she'll actually deliver at the games is quite unpredictable. We may not know exactly how it will go. But I think she'll be somebody to look out for. She'll be one of those athletes that we'll be able to see and follow. How she progresses through the heats and all will also be something to look out for. Ultimately, for her, it should be about placing some good times and justifiably seeing how she'll finish up among some of the best in the business.
The 2019 Africa Games bronze medalist is ranked in the 41st position by the World Athletics Body. She says she's acclimatizing well in Tokyo, having traveled earlier this month.
Concerning the preparation here in Tokyo, yeah, we were brought a bit earlier. Like, we have stayed now, like, days, not a week yet, but days, yeah. So far, the preparation is on well, and we hope for our best to me, my teammates, and everyone here. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong. We're okay with the preparation.
Lenny was in the 2nd Ugandan batch of athletes to travel to Japan alongside compatriots, runners Esther Chebet and Sarah Chelenget, who compete the 5,000 meters category, as well as Albert Chemtai, who runs in the 3,000 steeplechase and are based in Tateshina Town in Nagano Prefecture.
This is my first Olympics ever in my life. So here I'm not going to talk about win and so on. So it's all about what you have been doing, what you have put in yourself. So me, my coming here into this Olympic, anything can happen, but I just want to come and do my best wherever it is, whether the condition and so on. I had to be here, I had to do my best. That's what right now I have in my mind, though anything can happen. So I love my fans, the whole country, the whole world, I have fans. So my only message to them would be like, they should expect good performance from me.
Uganda's other female sprinter at the Olympics was Justine Baiga, who also competed in the 400 meters category some 12 years ago at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. It should be remembered that Uganda's first medal, the very first gold, was won in the sprint race when John Akibua raced the best in the 400 meters hurdle at the 1972 Munich Games. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
My name is Shida Len, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Shida, and good luck at the Tokyo Olympics. These games will certainly look a lot different than past Olympics. There will be empty stadiums, rules against hugs and high fives, and also do-it-yourself Olympic medal presentations. VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
The medal presentation ceremony is usually one of the most iconic Olympic moments, when victorious athletes bow their heads to receive medals. But at the Tokyo Olympics, which start Friday, athletes will be presented medals on a tray. They will then hang the medals on their own necks. The do-it-yourself medal ceremony is just one way the Summer Olympics will look different this year. There will also be cavernous empty stadiums, a prohibition on athlete high fives and hugs, and no torch relay. Alessandro Libri, a Tokyo-based journalist, says that's a shame.
Japanese, obviously, they're very well organized, but to recreate the sort of missing Olympic spirit, which is the essence of every game, is going to be very difficult.
The big question is, how much will anyone care? Amid a still-raging pandemic, there are signs global interest is lacking for what some media have already labeled the no-fun Olympics. Only 46% of global respondents said they were interested in the Tokyo Olympics, according to an Ipsos poll. Underlying it all is worry the Games will serve as a super-spreader event in Tokyo, which remains in a state of emergency after a spike in COVID-19 cases. Already, three Olympic athletes have tested positive, prompting a wave of negative headlines, says Libri.
He wasn't supposed to be like this. Every Olympics, for some reason, had some sort of critical voices, but we are on a different level now, and it's 3-4 days to go.
Organizers hope that once the competition begins, the attention will shift away from the pandemic. But that may be tough. Jack Tarrant is a freelance journalist in Tokyo. He says media access to athletes will be very restricted due to COVID-19 protocols.
We're not going to be allowed to get close to them, to get to know them, to get to know their personal stories, which is what the Olympics is all about. Instead, it's going to be fairly formulaic. It's going to be video conference interviews.
To create more connections with viewers, organizers are relying on technology. Fans can post video selfies that will appear on giant screens in the stands. They can also click cheer online and have their digital applause appear on broadcasts and video boards in stadium. Athletes who finish their competition will be able to interact with friends and family back home via video messaging. But a lot of that has already been tried in sports leagues around the world and fallen flat, says Tarrant.
It's nowhere near the same, and I think the Olympics might struggle even more on that front because, unlike with club sports in the US, for example, fans don't tend to be as passionate about a specific team or about a specific person in the Olympics. Lots of people who watch the Olympics are viewing it very, very casually and are therefore probably going to be less than impressed watching it in empty venues
The most normal part of the Olympics could be the opening ceremony, which will likely include familiar elements such as the Parade of Nations, high-profile musical performances, and pyrotechnics. But even that event will look different. Only 1,000 VIPs are expected to attend the ceremony. That means the vast majority of the 68,000 seats will lie empty in the $1.4 billion Olympic Stadium, which was built with this very event in mind. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
My name is Shakur Samer, junior brother of Basi Samer Sasamer, a light heavyweight at the Ghana national team and an Olympic qualifier. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the latest top stories of the week, including the U.S. considers ways to aid the people of Cuba following recent anti-government protests that have been the largest seen in decades. Listen to Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I'll have more Olympic news, but first, let's go to Kenya's capital, Nairobi, where in one neighborhood, the game of chess is helping transform the lives of young people. Lenny Ruvaga reports from Nairobi.
We are in Mukuru Kwanjenga, an informal settlement that is about 13 kilometers from Kenya's capital, Nairobi. Among the youth here practicing chess, who number about 20, is Sarah Momanyi. At 15, she's a teen sensation in the sport, but her start wasn't easy.
When I started playing chess, it was hard because I was like the only girl, and my grandmother was so... She never supported me because of playing with boys. It was really hard.
It's been 5 years since an independent NGO, the Sports Outreach Ministry, introduced chess to this informal settlement to help keep young people away from drugs and crime. Every Saturday, the students here practice the game for 5 hours. The sport has provided a safe place for Momanyi and other young residents to hone and perfect their skills.
Yeah, so it's okay. I think the game is okay. The pawn structure is good.
The chess initiative has drawn about 800 students from various schools within Mukuru Kwanjenga, which has a population of about 500,000 people. Josephat Owila is a national chess instructor and head coach with Sports Outreach Ministry.
Socially, they are good because they can be able to coexist with others in the society. Also, in their schools, their respective school, they are performing well, which means that they are critical thinkers and they are creative also.
John Mukabi, the head of Chess Kenya, the national body that manages the sport, told VOA the sport faces challenges in the country.
For these informal settlement areas like here in Mukuru Kwanjenga, they don't have internet connection. They need laptops and things like that, and also chess boards.
Still, the young residents play the game despite obstacles. As for Momanyi, she continues to practice every day and hopes to one day become a grandmaster. Lenny Ruvaga for VOA News, Nairobi.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
What are the medal chances of African table tennis players at the Tokyo Olympics? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to a table tennis international umpire from Nigeria, John Peters.
I am of the strong opinion that African players stand a high chance of winning at least a medal at the Tokyo Games. This is premised on the stage reached by Nigeria's Aruna Quadri in the men's singles event at the Rio Olympics. But for luck of draws, at the rate he was going, it was most likely that he would have won a medal. Unfortunately, he was drawn to play against the number one seed at the quarterfinal stage. His performance then, I am sure, we motivate other African players to strive to even surpass that stage.
Are you impressed with the number of players that qualified to represent Africa? Do you think more players should have qualified?
As regards the number of players that qualified to represent the African continent, I have nothing against that number. We recall that apart from the number allocated to each continent, some of the players qualified through their world rankings. So if we want to have a higher number, our players must strive to achieve higher ITTF world rankings. Aaron Okwadri would not have qualified but for his world ranking. We have the players like Egypt's Omar Asad who can make higher rankings. To achieve this, African players must play in very many ITTF tournaments to earn more points.
What's your message to the African players, given the opposition they will meet at the Tokyo Olympic Games?
My message to our worthy African ambassadors is that they should be determined to create history for themselves and for the continent. The quality of their play is close enough to that in any part of the world. All they need to do is to have that extra determination to win. Already, we have one of them creating history by going to the Olympic Games for 7 good times. You should follow this up by winning medals. Again, I am John Peters, table tennis international umpire from Nigeria.
Thanks, John. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. John spoke with Iron Mike on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us now with more Olympic news.
South Africa will be competing in 17 of the 33 Olympic sports on offer at this year's games, including newly introduced sports, skateboarding and sport climbing. South Africa will have a squad of 185 athletes, making it the largest contingent the country has ever sent to the Olympics, beating out Rio's 137 athletes sent. President of the South Africa Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee, Barry Hendricks, speaks on their medal prospects.
Look at Makani Sambini's the results in the 100 meters. So we are pinning our hopes on those athletes who come through. We're really disappointed with Kasta, of course, but we know in our hearts that our athletes in the swimming pool and on the athletics track and even in the rowing stand a chance, and the rugby stand a chance of winning, and our thoughts and our pride and our passions behind them.
Three members of the Mozambican delegation to the Tokyo Olympic Games have tested positive for the coronavirus. The three positive cases were detected during the daily test, which all members of the delegation must take. All three cases are asymptomatic. And to Cameroon, where Team Cameroon will be presenting 12 athletes from 7 disciplines at the Tokyo Olympic Games. The team will be led by 33-year-old female wrestler Joseph Emiliene Tiako Osumbe. Team physiotherapist Mbawe Peter says the athletes who are lodging in Hita, one of Japan's towns, are in top shape, waiting for the Olympic Games to begin.
If our athletes are concerned, everybody's okay, right up to date. We follow them very, very closely, and back at the hotel, we have established a program which helps them in recovering and relaxation massage to prevent cramps. But the environment is very, very conducive for a training session like this, and I think that the programs that the trainers have put in place, the performance of all the athletes, I think it's good.
That's Zimbabwe Peter, physiotherapist for Team Cameroon at the Tokyo Olympics. And thanks to Samson Omale for that report. Meanwhile, Team Australia feels confident the Tokyo Games will be safe and secure. Joining us once again is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Last year, the Tokyo Olympics were postponed for 1 year due to a global outbreak of the coronavirus. And now we are just 2 days away from the long-awaited start of the Tokyo Games, despite rising cases of COVID-19 in the region and among the athletes themselves. On Tuesday, International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach addressed the IOC delegation and said, just as the Tokyo Games in 1964 marked a new era for Japan, this year's Olympics will give humanity faith in the future.
These athletes share the experience of perseverance with the people of Japan. Now the stage is set for the athletes to shine and inspire the world. Their amazing achievements, their effort, excellence, emotions, joy and tears, this creates the magic of the Olympic Games. This is also the time for Japan to shine. Despite the very difficult decisions that you, the Japanese authorities, we, the IOC, and all of us had to take, these Olympic Games will send a powerful message from Japan to the world. A message of peace, the message of solidarity, the message of resilience.
Bach also thanked medical workers and volunteers for making the games possible during the pandemic. Japan is currently under its fourth state of emergency, and the country's healthcare system is overwhelmed as new COVID cases continue to rise. Organizers say 22,000 people from more than 200 countries have arrived in Tokyo amid public concern that staging the event could accelerate infection rates in the Japanese capital. However, ahead of the games, members of Australia's Olympic team said they are confident they will be safe during their time in Tokyo. And world champion canoeist Jessie Fox says she's comfortable with the health protocols that are in place.
I think the Australian team have done an amazing job of setting up the HQ so that you don't actually have to go to the dining hall if you don't want to, and you can avoid, you know, the crowds and be safer by having your own snacks and breakfast and lunch. And I'll probably just go for dinner and spend as little time as I can in there and go at off-peak time. So I think there are different strategies in place, and there's support in place as well so that we can feel safe. The buses are socially distant. You can open the windows. There are things like that that are apart from the masks that can make us feel safe too.
Australian skateboarders are set to make history as their sport makes its Olympic debut, but the team will be down two athletes who were disqualified after testing positive for COVID-19. Skateboarder Shane O'Neill says he regrets that his fellow teammates are not there to join him in Tokyo.
I got to the contest, and by that time they had already, you know, gone through that, so it was super sad for them, but I think they were all quite young, and I know they have bright futures, so they're going to make it and, you know, make it to the next games. And definitely disappointing, but, you know, I think that they're going to learn a lot from this anyway, and it'll be good.
Athletes who have arrived in Tokyo, like Australian fencer Evelyn Halls, say they have strategies of their own to ensure they stay protected.
We have some simple strategies in place, so mainly the mask wearing when we're out at all times, also social distancing, but obviously we have dedicated cars and drivers, so and it's just a quick trip over here, so we're not too far away from the village, and then, you know, the daily saliva testing obviously is critical to the integrity of the whole system, and so that's all been, working, and we're confident in the measures that are in place there.
I have to mention here that Wednesday has been a very good day for Australia. It has just been announced that the city of Brisbane will host the Olympic Games in 2032. That year will mark the third time Australia will host the Olympics. The Games were first held in the city of Melbourne in 1956 and again in Sydney in 2000. Australia's Prime Minister called today's overwhelming vote a historic moment for the country and for the city of Brisbane. Meanwhile, in Tokyo, over 70 cases of COVID-19 have now been linked to the Olympic Games. And this week, Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee Chief Toshiro Muto said he has not ruled out a last-minute cancellation of the Games ahead of the opening ceremony set to begin on Friday. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Wraps up the July 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.